to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture.
This is Hannah.
And we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're coming from.
Name is Michael Dansell from Reno Valley. Co-owner of Shoots, Mad Bun, Breezy. Mm. Just recently started my own social media marketing agency, Reactive. So got all that going on, but thanks guys for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Exciting.
And I found you by way of Shoots and new customer, new loyal customer nice. Off of yeah, yesterday. Because definitely. Definitely the katsu chicken that we had was like, it was fire. Yeah,
it was
definitely. And here's the thing is I went into it. I had heard that you told me a little bit about this story before. So went into it like this stuff's going to be good, but it really, hey, it was a next level.
It's
fun, man.
It's impressive. It's something that you won't find anywhere else.
No, it was really good.
And kind of, I guess we could just get started off by just kind of, where are you from? Kind of, have you lived in SoCal your entire life?
Lived in Moreno Valley pretty much most of my life, then moved to Riverside in high school. And then just been Riverside.
Okay. Your parents from here too?
Yeah. Well, from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. They moved out here when they were like, 20 years old. And then, they just lived most of their life right here in Southern California.
Oh, that's what's up. Do you have any siblings?
I got three. I'm sorry, two. There's three of us. But what's crazy is such a big age gap between me and my other brothers. Mm. So the middle child, me and him, we have a 13-year gap.
Oh, wow.
And then the youngest one, it's an 18-year gap.
Wow.
So growing up, I almost felt like I thought I was like, you know, like I would take. Kid?
So hold on. It goes you as the oldest, 12, 13 years?
13 years.
And then 18 years?
And then 18 years, yeah.
So wait, 18 years from you to the littlest sibling, right? Okay, I thought it was, all right, cool. No mathematician around here, but that's crazy.
Wow.
It's wild.
What did your parents do for work?
That's kind of like how I got into the restaurant industry is because they actually have, or they started their own restaurant in 1990. So we've had it for about, 34 years now?
That's crazy.
So with that, you know, kind of just seeing them day in, day out, I didn't see them, but seeing how they operated, I was like, this isn't the life for me. Like in high school, I was just like, no, I don't want to do anything with restaurants. And just so funny because fast forward. And
here you are.
That's all I do now. That's all I know how to do, you know?
Yeah. What were some aspects of what they were doing that you were like, oh, no, I don't want to do that at all?
So it was just the fact that, you know, like growing up, I see all my friends. They're in sports. They're hanging out with their fam on weekends. They're going to Disneyland. And then for me, I'm at home by myself. You know, like I pretty much had like my grandparents taking care of me. Or I would go out to my cousin's house, which is in the valley. And I'd spend most of my time over there, which is why, like, one of my cousins, me and him have, like, a super close relationship. So growing up, just kind of, like, being in that kind of environment, I was just like, you know what, I don't want to have that same kind of life. Mm. And I don't want to, because it's my mom and dad working together in the restaurant. And in the restaurant, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of stress. So, of course, you know, being a married couple, you're probably fighting a lot, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes I would kind of transition over home to the house, and I didn't like being in that environment, nor did I ever want to essentially be that kind of person with, like, my family.
Right, right.
High school, I was just like, this isn't for me. And what's funny is I actually wanted to be a marine biologist.
Oh. Wow.
I feel like everybody goes through a marine biologist phase.
Right? Yeah, you know, like you're like, oh, sea animals, this looks fun.
Yeah. And then you look at the check that they're getting and you're like, nah, that's a lot of school. They don't make any money at all.
Well, here's the thing. This is one of the reasons why I actually wanted to be a marine biologist. Well, one, I grew up just loving the aquarium, you know? So every time I go to the aquarium, I'm like, oh, this is the best place on earth. You know, screw Disneyland. Like, I'd rather be at the aquarium. But there was one time my cousin hit me up. He was like, hey, yo, Mike, there's actually this job in Australia where it's like an 80K a year job, and they provide you a house. Mm. And all you have to do is go into the ocean every single day and, like, blog about it. And I was like, that's it? I was like, I'm sold. But then, like going into college, I ended up going to school for business. But when I was there, I was telling my mom, I was like, let me go into marine biology. Mm. And she was like, what are you going to do with that? I was like, I don't know. It seems fun. I was like, look, there's this job out here in Australia. Like, let me get up to that level. And then, you know, let me show you. But you know, she was just, she kind of just had that mindset of like, no, like stay in business. You know, you already have, we have a restaurant. We want you to take over it one day. But like, kind of like what I told you guys, in my mind, I was just like, I don't want to do nothing with this.
So you know, no Australia trip for you? No.
Still hasn't happened.
You know what's the crazy part, though, thinking about like just the immigrant culture that you grew up in, as well as food, too. I was seeing this thing, it's kind of related but unrelated, is donut shops are closing around LA at like a really high rate. Remember I told you a little bit about this, because it's old school immigrants that have been running them for 30 years, and then their kids see that and they're like, fuck man, I don't want to live in a box like this. Yeah. I want to be, I'm literally in a donut box full of donuts. Like I am the baker's dozen. So it's one of those things where it's like you have the old guard who's kind of like, man, these kids don't want to work, you know, anymore. But then it's also like, there's work. And then there's like what that is. Like I'm all for hard work, right? For sure. But slaving away. And you know, I get it, doing what you got to do to, you know, reach your definition of the American dream. Yeah. But it's kind of crazy though, to kind of see sort of what route you took. So you did have a lot of pressure, or you didn't have a lot of pressure from your parents to like be better than them, or almost just like take over what they're doing?
So the pressure was, look, we have this restaurant that we built. We want you to take over it. Obviously, they were like, you go to school, you understand how to make this better. But at that age, you know, like I'm 18, 19, 20, and their mindset is, look, you're going to work the same way that we did. Mm-hmm. And I remember having this conversation with my mom, because at the time I was dating this one girl, and I was like, oh, mom, me and so-and-so want to go on a trip, you know, and then like, you know, later on in life, you know, we'll be traveling. And she was like, how do you expect to do that if you're running the restaurant? Look how hard me and your dad work.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at it. But again, going back to like that, it's understanding how they kind of view the restaurant and view the business and what it means to pretty much own a restaurant or any kind of business, whatever it may be. But their view is, we open something up and we create a job for ourselves, in which we're here and we just go about it, and this is what provides for us. Whereas with me, you know, we'll get more into detail a little bit later, but I started to question, you know, out of curiosity, like how do people actually grow a business? How does McDonald's have thousands of locations? How come every time I see a McDonald's billboard, it says over billions served?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are struggling
today.
trying to serve like hundreds of people, you know? Like, how do they do it? And then I guess with them, you know, no knock on them, because like much respect for what they do. And part of like the reason why I continue to keep doing what I'm doing and still grinding and trying to make, you know, the best out of like whatever it is that I have, is because as I got older, I started to appreciate all the hard work that they actually put into it. To where in my mind, I'm like, okay, I can kind of go about this a little smarter now. I don't have to do the same kind of work that you do, and I can grow this in hopes that, you know, one day I want to be like, look, go ahead and just sell the business. Right. Retire. Like, let me take care of you guys, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at it from a whole different perspective now. Like the qualities I got from them was like the hard work aspect of it, but also, you know, just networking with different people and understanding how other people operate and how they were able to grow their business. I've understood like, I learned how to view and grow a business differently than they did.
I really like what you said as far as the hard work aspect of things, because I just got out of one of my meetings with Jet Ski to Catalina. So part of the back end of our college career here was I was slaving away on the water. I was ocean, just taking people from here back and forth. It's a fun time, right? It's the greatest day of your life, better than Disneyland, but doing it every day. You know what I mean? Like you see old guys and it's like my back, I was a young, you see how young and fit I am. And it's like, holy shit. After like a week or two, right? Like couldn't even get on the toilet, but it's funny because we talk about work ethic, and I skipped the entire year last year. They called me back to be like, hey man, can you be on call with weekends? I was like, fuck yeah, you're going to pay me to rip skis out there and, you know, make sure nobody dies. I can do that anytime you need. But the company has grown so much that you can see sometimes, like what I was noticing is we were in the dirt that first year I was doing it, to where it was like the company had expanded so much. The growing pains that we were feeling was like it was mom and pop that had become a national known, you know, world renowned company right there. They're the industry leader as far as water sports, having fun, making shit go fast. That's what they do, right? So you remember some of the things I would tell you, I'd be like, hey, some of this stuff is not up to code. It's not legally. They're just throwing young guys out here and we're flying skis 60 miles an hour over the water, and now seeing the protocol and seeing how, like, some of the complaints that I was hearing from the guys who were, because I'm not up there yet, they'll, you know, I'll be dabbling in here and within the next couple weeks, but some of the stuff that they were talking about, I was like, what, you guys have fucking radios now? Like, everybody has things like that, where it was just funny because
you got trackers
it was
now?
Literally just 2 or 3 years ago where I was out there and we were doing, you know, making it happen, hand signals, making it happen. Yeah. If a radio didn't work, hey, if a jet ski broke, guess what? You floated out there and hopefully the Coast Guard came out and got you. You better grab a wrench and learn how to fix a battery, okay. Right? I got left one time and I was like, this is never happening again. Yeah. Like, I bring my own tools, I bring this, and I was like, let me pop this thing open, fill it up and MacGyver it and get out of here. Yeah. But now it's like, we got an app, you just hit the app and a towboat will come in. I'm like, we're getting a little soft around here. Yeah, so much easier, right? But the complaints were, I was like, hey, we got it easy this season, guys. Like, calm down. We're good. We're big dogs in the team. So just, it seems like, even like, are you in a relationship right now?
Yes.
So, do you have kids?
No.
Okay, so think about this, because I'm always, one of my best talents is just, I've always wanted to be a dad. I've always wanted to start a family. I've always had dad energy, you know, captain of the team. Yeah. Hey, you get home safe. Don't be drinking, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So it seems like the way the next generation, or even like our generation right now, it's not that there's a lack of information, right? Like your parents had, like my parents had. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of effort, it seems like, right? To where we have everything. That's where I want to hear you go with your restaurant. And even just walking in, the experience that we got, I was like, oh, this is awesome. This guy, you know, we got the app up, you know, download the app, make this happen. Oh, I can order it. Holy shit, this is easy. And it's really good food too. So it's like everything made it happen. And it was such a nice experience. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about how important effort and hard work is in building whatever it is that you're striving for.
Yeah, no, because it's like, it's the understanding of like, nothing comes easy, you know? A lot of times people see someone drive, like, take for instance, I just ended a meeting not too long ago with a potential client, and he was telling me how he used to drive a Ferrari, and people wanted to give him money to franchise his restaurant, just because they were like, oh, yo, we want the life that you live, you know, and that's where me and him were connecting, because we were like, look, people see what's on the outside, or what, you know, the materialism that people have, yet once they get put in that position in order to achieve any of those goals, they don't want to put in that that work that, you know, like we've put in, you know, they don't want to do the, you're coming in at like 7 a.m. and then you're leaving at 11 12 p.m. Or a.m. I'm sorry. And I feel like this generation now just doesn't understand how hard, like, we had to, I mean, it, the best example is like literally being in the kitchen in the restaurant industry. Cause right now there's so many like HR like rules and all that stuff to where like the kitchen where I actually learned how to cook, and I like, I got my experience, and where I actually like developed a love for the culinary arts. Dude, my chef treated me like ass.
Yeah.
Like, you guys have seen like Gordon Ramsay, like Hell's Kitchen, right? So You want the story of like how that whole thing started?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So let me go back all the way to when I had just graduated college. Graduated with a marketing degree from Cal State San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. This was what, 2012, 2013, one of those years. But I couldn't find a job, right? Because obviously at that time, or with any job, they're always requiring, you know, few years experience.
20 years of experience. Yeah, right.
Just like, I didn't know that shit. Like, why don't you hire? I just got my college degree, you know? So this is where I was like, all right, like, what am I going to do with myself? Because I was going, like, I was applying, and I was like, I was getting no calls. I don't think I applied as much as I should have. Mm-hmm. Like, I probably applied to, like...
Oh, you were one of those at that moment, huh? Like, why aren't they... I did five.
That was the number I was just about to get.
Yeah,
I was like, dude, no one's calling me. But so what ended up happening was, in my mind, I was like, okay, you know what? My mom and dad always wanted me to be, like, take over the restaurant. So why don't I do this? Why don't I go into culinary school and, you know, try and gain like a degree in culinary arts and see what I can bring and learn there, and, you know, take it over to my parents' restaurant, because it's a small mom and pop's Filipino shop out in Reno Valley, and no one knows where Reno Valley is most of the time. But I decided that I was going to go to Le Cordon Bleu in Pasadena. So graduated, no job. I was like, let me go to Le Cordon Bleu. I went in, I applied and then all that fun stuff. And then I come home, I show my mom all the paperwork. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, she's going to be so happy, mm-hmm. like over boy, you know, because he's making moves. Like, this dude's like trying to do something big. And I get home, I show her the papers, and I'm like, look, mom, I'm going to culinary school. And she goes, what the fuck is this? She was like, you're going to put yourself in student debt? She was like, how much is this? I was like, it's going to be $40,000 for 2 years. And then she just flipped. And in my mind, I was like, what the fuck? Like, what do I do? And then she goes, if you want to learn how to cook, I'll teach you how to cook. Just come to the restaurant. And I'm like, that's not what I want to cook for. You know? Like, I want to know how I can improve this. You've obviously taken it to a level to where it's like, you know, this is all you know. So I want to figure something else out. And then, she kind of shut that down. And I kind of went through like some phase where I was like, oh, no, dude, like I'm lost. Like, what's going to happen? It just so happened that, you know, like, I feel like that this is why, like, I believe in, like, fate and, like, you know, like, the universe, you know, works in your favor if you're actually trying to, like, put some effort out there. And probably 2-3 weeks later, do you guys go out to LA a lot or anything?
Not really.
Occasionally.
No. You do.
When needed.
Yeah, I guess.
We're from
the
South Bay, though, okay, so, you know, we bounce out there. Dope. We're familiar.
Okay, so have you guys ever been to Perch? It's like one of those like rooftop.
I've never been there, but I've been wanting to go. Okay. Yeah, I've been wanting to go.
Well, it's on the list now. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, so it was my cousin's birthday. It was at Perch. Super dope spot. I was like, cool. Like this is where I would love to be. And then it just so happened that my cousin approaches me and she's like, hey, one of my friends is here. He's actually, and at that time, he was voted best 30 chefs under 30 in LA.
Okay, wow. Cool. That was your cousin?
That was my cousin's, like, one of my cousin's best friends.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So she was like, I told him your situation. You guys should, like, just connect. So I spoke with him, and then me and him are talking, and then he's just like, look, your cousin told me your situation, and I have something that I could offer you, but what it's going to be is, you're not getting paid for this. Mm. Pretty much like an apprenticeship, right?
Right.
Yeah.
He was like, you're going to work for me in my restaurant, and you're going to be working for free. But I'll teach you everything that you probably would have learned in culinary school. Mm. And I looked at him. I was like, okay, sure. Mm. But he then looked at me. He was like, but I'm like neutral about this. If you want to take it, cool. If you don't, I don't care.
Right.
Like, he was already like kind of like a hard ass and like an asshole, like trying, you know, talking to me. So I was a little intimidated, but in my mind, I was like, okay, I think I got to go with this. So I see my mom the next day, and I'm like, hey, mom, so I'm not doing culinary school, but if you let me, I met a chef last night in L.A., and he's offering me this position.
Slavery.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. So she didn't look too happy, but she thought it was a better opportunity than, you know, putting myself in debt. Because that's one thing that my parents always hated was being in debt.
Right.
Because, you know, being immigrants from the Philippines, starting a business, you know, when we first started, it's not like it was, like, popping or anything, you know? Like, the story that my mom tells me all the time was, look, we just bought this house in Moreno Valley. We just had you. Our combo plate that we sell is $2.99. Mm. So even if we had 100 people, we're making $299 a day. We have a mortgage to pay. We have rent to pay for the restaurant. We have a child to support. Plus, it's me and your dad. So, you know, around that time, like, and this is why I said earlier, where it's like, I've learned to appreciate everything that they've done. Mm. Like, all of, like, the sacrifices that they've made for me, you know. But yeah, that going back to that, that's one of the reasons why she was a little happier with the fact that I wasn't putting myself in like any kind of debt by doing this. Because the way that this ended up working was my cousin's mom, my aunt, she said that I could just live with them, which was in the valley, and I could just work over there, you know. Wouldn't have to pay rent, nothing. So I was like, cool, I'll get the experience, not paying anything, but, you know, I'm just working, just slaving away.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I took that job, and I kid you not, this literally felt like Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, no.
Like,
screaming and yelling?
Well, just strictly towards me.
Oh no!
Like I was like, how come no? How come you're not treating anyone else like this? Why are you such an asshole to me? It wasn't until later where I found out. I was like, okay, like he actually really was trying to like groom me in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, doing this whole entire experience, I remember like there were times where I would be prepping something. This was the first day. I was prepping cilantro, so mm-hmm. I was literally taking all the, like, the little cilantro leaves off the stems, and then this was the first task that the chef gave me. He comes back 2 hours later. He's like, why the fuck aren't you done yet? I was like, how long is this supposed to take? Like, dude, I was like, there's a lot of cilantro, and then, like, he always looked at me like, dude, this motherfucker works slow as hell. And then, yeah, it was literally like that with every little thing. And I'd be cutting stuff. Obviously, I don't have any knife skills. So he had a specific way of how he cut his tomatoes. And then I'm trying to practice, and all my tomatoes are like lopsided. And he's like, do that shit again. And I'm like, dude, I've been doing this for like the past 20, 30 minutes. And then same thing with that. So just so you guys know, this was also like my first actual job. I was 23 at the time.
You know what the character that I'm gonna compare you to is like Po from Kung Fu Panda before he became the Dragon Warrior. You remember that? Just the vibe. It's like, again, more tomatoes. Like, it's just kind of funny. You seem a little soft at this point in
no,
time.
No, honestly, yes, bro. Because, dude, this honestly was like my first actual job. Right. I've always worked for my parents, yeah. Right? So I didn't even know what it meant to like take a lunch break or anything like that. So like yeah. I think this was the first day. I was like, fuck, I'm fucking hungry. Yeah. You know, and my shift started at 10, and I didn't know how long I was going to be there for. 4 o'clock hits, 5 o'clock hits, and I'm just like, dude, normally, like, if this was my parents' restaurant, like, I would just go grab a plate and just start mm-hmm. eating, you know?
What if you did that
then? On my first day, right? On my first day, but again, I was already so intimidated and so shy to like even say anything to the chef. So what I would do is when he put me on another task, he'd be like, all right, you go in the walk-in fridge, get this, and we'll start prepping that. So I go in the walk-in fridge, and then I saw all these like raw vegetables. And then I would eat like a mushroom here. I would eat like a little carrot stick there. I would eat like a little cherry tomato. Like, dude, this was probably for like the first, dude, I want to say 3 weeks.
My God.
That was like how I would eat at the restaurant.
Oh, no. Okay.
And it wasn't until like, it wasn't until about like, yeah, like I said, 3 weeks later where someone, like one of the other cooks, he was just like, Michael, are you hungry? I was like, how like does that starting. Work? Yeah. I was like, how does that work? You know? And he was just like, I can make you something. I was like, really? Like, do I pay? I can go on break? You know, like, because again, working for my parents, it wasn't a matter of, oh, go take your 30 now. It was, are you hungry? Okay, go eat and then come back. Yeah. I was like, okay, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, working for my parents, like, sometimes they were lenient, so I'd like leave and I'd go eat and I'd be gone for like an hour or so. Yeah. I was like, where the fuck did you go? I was like, I thought I didn't know I was gone for that long. So yeah, that's what I was used to. Mm. And then with this experience, it was just I didn't know how to act. Mm. I was working under someone new, who just yelled at me all the time and who made me feel like I was always doing something wrong. But this restaurant that I worked at, we had a bunch of celebrities that came in. It was like kind of like West Hollywood area. Mm. So celebrities, rich people, all that kind of stuff. To where the chef finally like put me on the line and he allowed me to start cooking. And then he would slowly start trusting in me a little bit more. And he'd be like, okay, you got a VIP on that table. And I'd look and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, okay, cool. And he'd be like, you're in charge of it. I'm like, really? You want me to do it? And then, you know, like I would always get like positive feedback. So I think it was now from this experience where I started to develop just confidence in like my skill of cooking. Mm. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, cool. I can literally cook for anyone. I can cook for someone who's just super, super wealthy. And I can cook for just, you know, just home style food, you know, like what I've been doing all my life. And I'm like, no matter what I'm making, like, people seem to like it.
Right.
Obviously, that's not my recipe, but I'm following it right. I'm doing it right. I'm learning all these like techniques on how to cook. I'm learning like flavor profiling. And this is one thing I got from the chef was just his like creativity, you know, as much of a dick as he was, like I admired like how creative he was in the kitchen. And it was like this experience that made me fall in love with the restaurant industry. It wasn't what I went through like growing up. It was the fact that I was like, oh shit, like what you're putting out and what you're having us put out, I was like, you're taking food to a whole new level. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And of course, like throughout this whole entire experience, it's like, now I got someone on my ass all the time. Right. And it's like, I'm starting like 10 a.m. and I'm going until 11, 12 p.m. And the way this whole thing worked was every single day, I would drive to an a.m. p.m. I'd buy a coffee and then I'd buy one of the large ones and I'd sip half of it. And I'm like, okay, this will like allow me to wake up a little bit so I can get through the day. And then by the end of the day, I'll drink the other half when I go home.
Okay.
But the thing is, that coffee, that shit has milk in there. This is in the middle of like spring and summer. It's fucking hot. You know, so even when I'm done, like I'm drinking that coffee and I'm just like, dude, like, I look back and I'm just like, I'm surprised I did not like get like a stomach infection.
No, that's a good vaccine right there. It's not fully sour. It's just sweet, you know? It's good for you.
But yeah, no, even through this experience, man, it was funny because one of my coworkers, I started to get cool with everybody, and one of my coworkers, he started eating, like, you know how, like, when you go to a restaurant, you don't finish food sometimes, right? Of course, the server, they'll take it back, okay?
Oh, no, did he eat it?
So, here's the thing. He started eating some of it,
oh. And
I'm looking at him, I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you want to try this one? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm fucking starving. I didn't eat anything yet.
Got these leftovers for you.
So that's how me and him even got closer because we started sharing like leftovers from customers.
Not only you didn't even get the leftovers yourself. You had to share the leftovers with somebody. Yeah. Come on now.
And I'm like, dude, you don't. I was like, are you sure that's okay? He was like, dude, I haven't gotten sick yet. There was even one time where he pulled something from. I swear to you, this is true. He pulled something from the trash can.
Oh no!
Oh no! What was it?
I don't. I really don't remember. But of course, like this being like somewhat of like a fine casual restaurant, like the food that's being served is freaking top notch, you right. know. So I was like, oh, I haven't tried that one yet. I haven't tried that dish yet. So I was like, sure, let me get a piece.
Oh no!
And then I started, you know, just looking back, it's like, dude, here I am, like a freaking. I graduated college. I'm better than this. You know, my parents didn't work this hard for me to eat out of freaking trash can.
When they left the Philippines, they said, you know what? This is what he's gonna be doing. You know, it's gonna be a part of his life. It's very telling of you, right there. We can just wrap everything up right now off of that. But that's pretty funny.
Yeah, no,
dumpster diving over here.
How long were you at that restaurant for?
So I was there for about like 5 to 6 months. But again, through that, it was that experience that literally shifted everything for me. You know, it taught me like more discipline because even like there was one time in the middle of service where I was running out of stuff and I was rushing to the walk-in fridge just across the restaurant. He stops me middle of the restaurant where we have an open kitchen so servers can see, cooks can see, customers can see, and he just starts going off on me because he was like, why are you going all the way over there? And I was like, oh, I wasn't prepared. And then this is when he gave like this whole entire speech of like preparation, being well prepared. So long story short, like he just made me like literally just bawl in front of the entire restaurant. And I was like, this was probably like one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, but it also taught me a super valuable lesson. You know, to like, you always want to come prepared no matter what.
Right.
You know, you always want to prepare for the worst, whatever it may be. But that was one thing that, like, really stuck with me from this whole entire work experience.
I got two things lined up. It's going to take us a couple minutes to do. I would definitely want your opinion on it because Hannah opened my eyes up to a world that I don't know if I would have been able to take that monster out without her help. So it's one of those things where like, it's weird that you had to learn discipline like after college, because the way I was framed and the way that I was raised and why I think I accredit a lot of my success that I've had today is through just really good mentorship and really good fucking parenting. So it was one of those things where, like, naturally, genetically, and you see this, you have a lot of people that you watch humans, people are wired differently. They really are. I was wired to where, like, you don't have to tell me what to do. Like, I'm going to do it. So luckily my parents weren't like, you know, fairies or creatives. They were like, sports, you're going to play sports. You're going to run motherfuckers over and that's what you're going to do. And you're going to be really good at it. And I go, yeah, mission, got it. Let's figure it out. And that's what I did for my entire childhood. Obviously, you just take that transition into, you know, whatever it is that I want to do, finance, life, whatever I do, right? Yeah. But as far as developing discipline, I hear, and this is the new eyes that you've helped me with, I hear what you're saying. If you asked me 3 years ago, yeah, he needs to be in your ass. He should have hit you upside the head for those goddamn wobbly-ass tomatoes. Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? And you'll get so far. That is so powerful. When you can lead with fear, that's what I used to lead with, right? Was like, hey, I'm going to dominate and I'm going to do this. And then you're going to understand that, like, I'm the top dog here. So fall in line and we're going to get this taken care of, right? And then I found that second, the number one thing of, like, love, right? When you really actually love somebody and you actually love what you're doing and your teammates, right? That's why, like, America will always, not will always, but has always had the best military. Because when you look into it, right, we can take, like, a Japan or a China or a Russia, right? When you force people to go into service and you give them guns, and imagine if we called you up, you're like, bro, I run a restaurant. I don't know anything about these AKs. I don't know what's going on, right? And then you call guys who are, like, SEALs, you know what I mean? Who he said, no, we show up for this. Like, we fucking signed up and I'll die for this. That group of 10 guys is going to fight way harder than the group of 10 guys who's getting the whip cracked on them, right? That's why it always wins. But fear is a really good tactic. It was, my dad did a great fucking job with being scared of him, and he got me to move mountains, right? But he transitioned the relationship, similar to what you're saying, to where when I understood why he was doing it, when he goes, like, buddy, I'll work any job. I don't care what it is. There's nothing too much. You know, and you put that in your head, you go, I don't care when it starts. 3 a.m. That's when you want a podcast? 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
All right, man. The light will be on. Here's the address. I'll be here when you get here. Let me know 5 minutes before, right? Yeah. So it's just this weird thing to where I need your take on it, and then I want to hear his take on it, to where that's not how I lead humans anymore. It is with positive reinforcement, because I know that I don't necessarily have to yell. And I know there's some motherfuckers that you have to, like, just crack in the head a couple of times to get them to figure it out. But the majority of the time should be, hey, if this is what you want to do, let's almost lead it, right? Let's almost make it happen. Let's positively reinforce what's going on versus trying to just with force. Because generationally, I get it. I understand the trauma. You're talking about the Philippines. Your parents were hard. Like, I completely get America in that status, right? No matter where you came from, what color your skin is, it was fucking hard. Like, in order to succeed, you had to go hard. So what is your take? Because I'm close, but I know that's your realm, to where you get it and understand it. Because Hannah's from Sweden. Everything's perfect in Sweden. I want you to understand that. The weather kind of sucks when the winter is not cold. Perfect,
that's for sure.
But the biggest thing in our relationship is I come from the highest of operators of American ideology of, like, I don't give a damn. You know what I mean? Like, set me on fire. I know you're going to bleed less than me. And then I meet her and I was like, none of my tactics work on, none of my powers worked on Hannah, like, at all when we first met her. So I had to go, like, oh shit, this isn't how the world works. I need to expand. This is how they're doing it in Europe. This is how they're doing it over here. Take it.
I think it's very different, because I think fear works very well if you want to get something done in the short run. But if you truly want to have someone do it for a long time with passion, you have to do that through love. Like, I'm not going to do something for a long time that I hate doing or that someone, like, scared me into doing, because I'm going to make sure I get it done so I can stop doing it right away. But if you're teaching me something and you're doing it through love, and then I end up loving what I'm doing, I can do that for the rest of my life. And I also think there are people that really need that super direct, a little hardcore teaching. I'm sure you were one of those kids that needed that, but we are, like, the complete opposites in that.
Here's what I'll say though. School never gave a fuck about. I don't care about any of the teachers. I didn't care about any of that, but the stuff that I loved, I was there first guy at practice, last one to leave, no matter what it was. So that's the weird part is no one ever had, like the biggest compliment I got as an athlete all the way up until after college was like, we knew what you were thinking. That was like the biggest thing when coach would look at me and be like, yeah, we knew what you were thinking.
But that's the directness of it though.
Okay.
Like I mean, even when we communicate in the past, it's been very direct of like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Instead of it being like, are you okay? You know what I mean? Like, it's very like, let's get to the point. And it doesn't mean that like, you're trying to be rude or mean. It's just right. Like, you're so direct and you want to figure it the fuck out. Whereas I'm more of like, well, can you look at how I'm feeling? Like, yeah. Like I get, we want to get to this solution, but we like, let's consider my feelings too. Yeah. Cause that's going to be a big part of it.
And I think the biggest thing, like I don't know the first thing about cooking, I make a mean PB&J. That's about it. You know, I buy food really good though. I get to order it. I order the shit out of a menu. Right. But it's like, if you're taking a young pupil, whatever it is, I think the first thing is just understanding and letting them understand that there's a process to it. And I think that's the main thing that once my mentors sort of locked me into that, my parents did a great job of that, of, hey, this is a process. You suck at tomatoes now, but guess what? Look at Johnny over here. Johnny's tomatoes, fire. He's been here 3 years, perfect. You know what I mean? So it's a process, man. And if I'm going to rip your ass right now, I'll rip your ass right now, but understand that like, I want you here. You know, I love you. And, you know, it's awesome what you're doing. Just keep working hard and making it happen and leading by example almost, for sure. Right? So I think that's the thing, because when you do become, let's say, this like great talented chef that was ripping ass, and that's the culture of the kitchens back in the day. I get it. Here's the thing though, is he builds the biggest, nastiest, awesomest rooftop bar or whatever. However, at the end of the day, it's like, if that is how he's leading with example, there's no way you can look at yourself in the mirror and be happy. Like, yeah, I love doing this. I love fucking smacking young guys around and bitching over tomatoes all the time. You want to lead it. You want to get to the level that obviously you're getting to. And I'm sure you wouldn't find the success you're doing without that ideology. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where it's very opposite to think, coming from like my background too, to where it's like, holy shit, you can win with kindness. Yeah. Like, it's a weird take to be like, but no, if you're kind, people will take advantage of you. People take advantage of you. And it becomes a wormhole instead of being like, well, fuck, if people want to take advantage of me, that's not the type of people that I want to be affiliated with anyways. Yeah. And their opinions actually don't like.
And at the end of the day, you can't control that. Like, people are going to try to mess with you and fuck you over so many times, but like, that's not going to be on you.
And people are going to be lazy, right? So that's the thing too, is you can't force anyone to be great.
Yeah.
You can maybe plant seeds here and there, but if they're not showing up day in and day out, right? You don't need to ride them that hard, because they'll show you who they are pretty early on if you're good at diagnosing that, right? It's just kind of hearing your take on like, tell me how you do it different than that. Unless maybe you do it the exact same way I just don't know. But like, how do you lead with kindness?
I am super different in that sense. But that's only because it's like the way I lead and the way I guess I would communicate to someone is always based off of like how I felt, you know, or like my past experiences. So with that experience, of course, it didn't make me feel good about myself. But what it did was it actually flipped a switch in me and made me start realizing certain things for myself, to where I was like, okay, I do need to make a change in my life, right? Yeah. Just in my behavior or how I operate as a person. So, you know, I've been doing this since 2017 now. First restaurant I opened was in 2017. And I started to understand where I just had to know who I was, or who the person I was speaking with, you know, I had to understand that individual before anything. So I've just understood that everyone kind of receives information differently. There are going to be people where you need to be a little bit harder on them. Obviously, I'm not a dick to anyone. I'm not going to say, what the fuck are you doing? I'll just be more stern.
Yeah.
Whereas with someone, I can be, you know, someone may have like, you know, a more sensitive personality where I have to like bring out my soft skills a little bit more.
And it's like, pause right there. So it's like, with me, I think this might be something that I want to know if you understand. When you beat around the bush, I'm calculating so fast because I drive at that level that my fear is that you're going to tell me like, hey, somebody did something to me. Or, you know what I mean? Hey, I crashed the car. If you're out with the car, let's say, and then you call me, you're at the mall or something, and my phone call comes and you're like, hey, so about the insurance and this and that. I'm already like, insurance? You crashed. Somebody hit you. You did this and you did this. And you're just like, no, I saw somebody get pulled over. I wanted to make sure that I knew where it was in the glove box. Yeah. But
I think with you, what we learned though is like, with you, I have to be direct because your head goes there of like, oh shit. Like, you think about like worst case scenarios and like, oh, what is she? Is she okay? Is she in the hospital right now? Like, I have to be very direct with you. And then with me, you now have to learn that, like, oh, well, and it's not beating around the bush and it's not like sugarcoating. It's just like, because I have a little bit more of a sensitive personality, now as a good leader, you have to be able to kind of navigate that type of personality as well.
Yeah, I see that. And those are like the two people that you're talking about there. Yeah.
So it takes some time to like really understand who people are, right. You know, like takes a few shifts for me to just understand, you know, how do I approach this person? Because there are people where it's like you'll do whatever you can to like let them know how to, you know, perform a simple task, yet they keep fucking up over and over and over and over again. But then you start to understand, okay, maybe I have to be a little bit more harder. Maybe, you know, with that person it worked, but with this person I just have to be a little more stern with how I say things, right? So, but at the end of the day, what I've learned over the past few years is that it also comes down to how we hire. You know, so when we're hiring people, we want to hire people with like the same values or the like. So we'll ask questions to where it's like, okay, how do they respond? Maybe not something like situational in like a kitchen or anything like that, but just like everyday life. Mm. You know, like how would you go about this situation? And just to kind of get a feel for like how they are. Like, and I'll always ask this question too. It is like, you know, are you open to constructive criticism? Because at the end of the day, they're not going to know like your entire operation. They're not going to know what you expect of them. But I want them to understand, so I'm transparent from the jump, that if you are ever doing something wrong, I will always communicate it to you, you know? And we'll always hold each other accountable, you know? And I even tell them, I was like, even with me, like, if you feel like I'm fucking up as, like, the owner or as, you know, like, your leader here at the restaurant, feel free to tell me.
Right.
Because it's like, I also want you to feel like you have a voice, you know? So that's just the way I've always went about it. But, you know, like, as far as, like, being an asshole, I kind of was like that in the very beginning. But I just, you said this earlier. Sometimes you go home and you're just like, I didn't like that version of me. Right. Like, who the fuck am I to, like, speak to someone like that? You know, you don't feel good about yourself.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I get that, dude. And it's one of those things where it's like, before we move on to the next topic, whenever I've had very little restaurant experience, it's all pizza, by the way, too. Yeah. Domino's, I think Round Table Pizza, and then I don't know, one other one, but they all lasted like very a couple days, maybe one or two checks, and then moved on to other things, right? But it's almost like I don't like wasting time. That's not my thing. Is it's I'm so good at plugging things together. Yes. Even relaxing has to be like, okay, yeah, no, we're going to the beach to lay there and do nothing. It's in my calendar, like, do nothing in the beach, be there with Hannah, be present, X, you know, make it happen. So it's one of those things where it's like,
and even then you're like, can we throw some frisbees? Like, you just won't just lay there.
Oh, no. I'm so the same way. I'll be out there like I could totally surf that wave right now. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I can make it that far. You know, what are these people talking about? And I'll be looking up like ultra marathon. What is it? Like, if I wanted to, what would it be? Let's say like 100 miles. I'm like, never mind. That's not happening. But when you're interviewing somebody, this is kind of interesting. I just wanted your take on it. It seems like people can always say the right thing, right? They can always, you know what you're supposed to do, but it's a matter of executing it. Mm. And you can't tell that unless, you know, you take a chance on somebody, right? Yeah. Or do you have a good little sixth sense?
So, no, this is how we kind of go about it, right? So I'll have a question prepared, right? And then with this question, there's three answers. None is right. I mean, all of them are pretty much, they're all right answers. Mm. They're all correct answers. But which answer actually fits within our core values, right? Because with your core values, so take for instance for shoots, you know, some of our core values are, you know, being curious, bridging the gap. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. We have eight of them. fail forward fast.
You'll remember them later.
But with each of those values, it's like we can pretty much formulate these questions in which have three different responses, all in which they're all correct answers, right? Mm-hmm. But which one aligns the most with what our values are in the business? So yes, people can have the right answers all the time. Obviously, all three of them are right. But based off what they're choosing, in my mind, I'm just like, okay, cool, you align with.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. So it is kind of like a little bit of a puzzle. And then based on what they do, what piece they pick, it's like, oh, okay, that falls
like
in that.
This is how your mind works. You know,
I get that. And then just through, you know, repetition, just like the guests that we have on. After I know, I'm like, oh shit, came in with a laptop and he's popping open. Remember that girl that did that? Came in and opened up a laptop as I was setting up the mic. And she was like running emails, and I was like, I wanted to throw your laptop. Like, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing? But what did you think? You thought you were going to do work right here and somehow do. I was like, this is a hard thing we're doing here, right? It's not just plead the fifth or whatever. But the thing that I want to move into that you said earlier was there is no easy way, right? Like, it is always hard. Mm-hmm. And you talked about, like, oh, that dream life that your partner that you were talking about, right? That hit me about a week ago when we're walking around. So we have a 3-year-old Belgian Malinois. I don't know if you're familiar with the breed, but if you're ever, let's say, whatever the most dangerous, you have a girlfriend, right?
Yes.
Let's say she's in the most dangerous thing ever. She's in a burning building, right? And we have three options. We can send a firefighter in, you could run in, or we can send Kino. I would put $1 billion on Kino.
Yeah.
Like, bar none. Well, we'll let him out here in a second and you'll see, but I would, every fucking dime and every, I would steal from you just to put more into this bet. Cause I'm like, this guy has it. It's something that he has. And we'll walk around and it never fails. Every Saturday we go down there, someone will be like, this is my dream dog, right? Like, this is the dog that I want. When they got Osama bin Laden, the first SEAL that went in was Belgian Malinois, went in there and got him, made sure things. They're the most phenomenal thing ever. You have to be really good at what you're doing, though, right? It's like taking
there's
on.
There's a reason they're in the military and in the police.
Yeah, he doesn't stop. There's no on switch. Yeah. So, like, let's say you were to just come in here and I don't know, I'm not in here. He'll go through that door and be like, I don't know who the fuck this guy Michael is. I saw him on the schedule, but he's my, this is my ass right now. Like, I'm getting in that ass because he has a mentality to where he goes, like, and it's totally helped out our household because I don't have to, he's secure. Here, I don't ever have to, like, 2 nights ago, it's 1:33 a.m. checked my phone and I just hear just a and he doesn't sleep. He's the only dog that will let sleep in the bed.
Yeah,
he don't give a fuck. He's like, nah, man, we got work to do here. He's just up. He's never asleep. You'll never wake up in the middle of the night. You'll just see ears and eyes. Yeah, like, what's going on? Did you hear something? And then I'll look out in the alley and I didn't hear it yet, but he heard it, and like, it'll be some homeless guy walking around in the alley or something. But he's amazing, right? And he's the type of guy that where there is no easy. The amount of work that I've had to put in of training with him, thousands of hours. Mm-hmm. We're talking hundreds, thousands of hours at this point of meticulously making this animal the best version of himself. And therefore, it's like you have a lab. Do you have a favorite dog?
I have an Australian cattle dog.
Okay, cool. Cool. Those are high drive dogs, right? That's a good thing. That's like a sports car. They fucking herd and they do cool shit. This motherfucker's a fighter jet. Like, when he comes out, you're like, oh yeah, this thing's different. Like, the way he looks at you, he's like, all right, we're cool, but just know you got something coming on. Like, you fuck up. And it's just a weird thing to where it's like, yeah, he'll fight somebody for me, but he's made it very clear he'll die for Hannah. Like, he's just like, no, I don't care. Like, I guarantee you right now, I will take it to the edge of the earth further than you. And guess what? If I got to die, I'd rather deal with this situation here than when Venture comes back and I got to tell him, like, I couldn't hold the boat.
Dead.
Sorry. Yeah. That guy touched Hannah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just one of those things of, like, people don't understand the amount of work that
it goes
into.
It looks easy.
Because I make it look easy when we're at the park and we're doing tricks and frisbees and we're doing bite work and all this shit. When he was a tiny puppy and he's just ripping my hand and I'm like, oh, you remember just all this stuff where he's almost taken off a testicle? Cause, like, you know, these are the little mistakes that you learn in life. Right. For that's my analogy, is the Kino analogy of, like, yeah, people say they want the dream life, right? They say that they want a successful business. We'll talk about your relationship here in a second if you're open to it, or just things like that. But there is no, like, overnight. It's all delayed gratification. It's all the process. And just like this show, I love what we do, and the foundation is so strong with what we do, and we're so comfortable because we love the fucking process. I'm not here to put one clip up and get 500,000 views and then blow up and do this. No. I don't give a fuck who's listening.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll put it in the right way, build the audience the right way, and then do whatever we want with that. However, I'm okay doing 200 episodes with no cameras, with, like, I don't care who listens, or I don't care who we're having on. Anybody, come on right now.
Yeah.
You got some wild shit. Like, you just have to talk and speak English, right?
For sure.
So, and we have great things like this. And, you know, I can tell before. If you came on and it was like the phone call, I was like, all right, fuck this guy. Like, move on to the next one. But it's what we do, right?
Yeah.
So what you talked about is, like, the importance of there is no easy route. Oftentimes, before you give an answer, though, tell me, because you've battled with this. And it's like, delayed gratification. There is no easy way, right? You always have to put some sort of work in.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, now I've definitely come to terms with that. But I think before, even like with working out, it's like, I don't see results after one day. Why should I keep going? Like, why? Nothing's happening. Like, what's going on? But then you don't realize, like, well, it takes a few weeks. It takes a few months. And then you'll start to feel it and see it. But it is hard, like, doing something without seeing any type of results, but still sticking with it, of like, what's gonna get there? But it's like, well, where the hell is the proof of that? Like, I don't know. It might, and it might not get there, but you, but like, as we just keep going, and even if it does fail, you still learn so much throughout that process. And I think that's where like my head is at right now, of like, even if it doesn't work out, even if it doesn't, you know, go great, it's like, well, you still learn so much from it, that that in itself is like the biggest accomplishment that you could have ever made.
No mistakes, only lessons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then the part to add on to that too, what I want your take on, is when motherfuckers have other people's opinions and they want the validation from like external sources, it could even be parents, it could be friends, it could just be people on the street, when you're looking for that, like the flex that you want, I'm gonna build a business and I'm the weirdo, right? What am I about to do when we pop this podcast with a Spotify deal for, I don't know, 80 million, $100 million, whatever ends up happening? Buying a sailboat, and I'm going to just, I'm trying to, you know, make shit smaller, right? Like, I don't have the flash or the pizzazz. I have like, oh no, let's get a little RV and fucking go watch the sunset and like have a good life. Yeah, build family, do that. I'm not here to be like, look at all my cool shit. Like, that's I want to help, maybe motivate, if not inspire you to go create whatever it is that you want to do. But yeah, that external validation is something that you clearly battled with early on, right? Like, yeah, why don't you, mom, why don't you tell me good job or this and that? Which, it's weird because since you met me, I was always so like, I give a fuck what they think. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm doing good and I know this show is awesome and I'm proud of it. So therefore, yeah, I got the balls to reach out and say, hey, I got a great show. We'd love to have you on. Please give us the time, you know? What do you think about that?
So for me, as far as like external validation, I honestly don't care about it anymore. Back then, what we just discussed, like, I was like, how come no one's giving me like a thumbs up or like a high five, you know, like I'm busting my ass over here. But you start to realize that, you know, like, that's not going to help you get any further, you know, like you're literally like, this is your life. You're completely responsible for the outcome of what actions you do. So it's like, whether someone rewards you or not, you're still responsible for what's going to happen, you know, with the business or, you know, just with your life. So for me, I look at things now to where it's like, okay, cool. Like, if someone wants to congratulate me, go ahead, congratulate me. If you don't, it's okay. I can, I'll survive and I'll keep moving forward, because I also, I guess I have a chip on my shoulder, because even growing up, like, I was that, I feel like I was the cousin in my family. I was like, oh, what's Michael going to do with himself, you know?
Oh, okay.
There was one time we were all, it was me and my other cousin, who I told you that I got really close with growing up, because I would always go to the valley and hang out with him. We're around the same age. And then our older cousin takes us to like Outback Steakhouse or something. We're having dinner. And my cousin, he was going to UCI. I'm in Cal State San Bernardino, but the conversation between the three of us was, well, it was mainly my older cousin, my cousin going to UCI, and she's like, you know, congratulating him, saying, oh my God, I can't believe you got into UCI. And then my cousin looks at me and she's like, oh, what about you, Mike? What school are you going to again?
Oh no.
And she, you know, she says, Cal State San Bernardino, and they start like laughing, like, and then, because they all went to like better schools and everything. In my mind, I'm like, Cal State San Bernardino, that is dope. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's still Cal State, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, in their eyes, they were like, oh, you're not doing anything with yourself. And then even, like, even when I took that job in L.A., I mean, no one said to me directly. I heard it through the grapevine. But, you know, I guess, like, my aunts and uncles were like, oh, like, what's Michael doing with himself? Didn't he just graduate? Why is he now, like, working at a restaurant for free? Like, literally, like, what he has a business here. Like, he can just take over his parents' business. What is he trying to do? I've had conversations, arguments with my dad growing up, and he was just like, Mike, like, because growing up, I, like I told you, like, I have two younger siblings, right, where I still felt responsible for them, but because I felt that, I would pretty much like lash out whenever I had the chance. Like lash out in terms of like if I were going to a party, when they say let's fucking rage, I would fucking rage, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So like I'd get hammered.
Yeah.
And then I'd wake up super hungover. If I gotta take my brother to school, I'll take him to school. If I gotta make him breakfast, I'll make him breakfast, all that kind of stuff. And then once they don't see me anymore, I'm like, okay, I can go like look lazy again, you know? But in front of them, I always felt like, okay, let me like kind of show up as if like, you know, like nothing's like phasing me. But yeah, it was always going through life feeling like no one thought I was capable of doing anything. And then I felt like, I told myself, I was like, why do I have to wait for someone to validate like my worth or like, you know, what I'm capable of doing before I even make a move. So once I started looking at life like that, to where I felt like, you know, like no one's opinion should affect how I operate. I just started moving my own direction,
right?
You know, and it allowed me to continue to just keep doing what I'm doing, which is up until now, like, sometimes I don't even tell my parents, you know, like what my next moves are. My parents don't even know I have this social media marketing agency that I just started.
Yeah.
But it's because like I know that with their mindset, they'll probably look at it, and it's not that I don't want to hear their opinion. It's just I don't like any kind of negative energy around me.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm pretty sure like if my mom heard it, she'd be like, oh, like, don't you have this? Don't you have that? What makes you think, you know, like, and I know she means well. Mm-hmm. But those are just things I just don't like hearing. So I also tune all that out.
And it's like how they express love too. Yeah. Like they worry so fucking. No, my mom was the queen of that. Of just like, God damn it. Like, you know, oh my gosh, you're not. I've never not had three jobs. Like I've just never. I've always been working. Yeah. So just the idea of like their fear. But I'm the only young man, honestly, family member that's not either dead or in jail. You know what I mean? I'm just the only like O'Neill men. Who are we looking at? We can go down the line of the six guys before me.
Yeah.
Fucking fuck ups, right? Yeah. And then you got me. So, you know, it was kind of like a little, she's holding on to this egg here really tight. Sure. And I totally get it. And we've fixed things and really improved what's going on. But you can tell, I'd be like, I was never like, hey, you should, it was almost just like, hey, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't even need a good job. Yeah. Just hush over there, please. Yeah. And then I'm doing my thing over here. Yeah. But yeah, that's how they love. Cause it's like so much like, fuck Michael. He's my guy. You know what I mean? Like, I get it.
But sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to hear that. Yeah. You know?
Definitely.
I think the tuning out comes with just like experience too of like, well, no, I know my shit. Like,
yeah.
I don't
know for sure.
Like what you, mom, you're not in marketing.
Yeah.
I know marketing. Yeah. You don't know marketing. So like what you're saying doesn't really matter. Like it's not going to use that as and like, I can use that. Yeah. You know?
And I don't want to be rude also. Yeah. Right. I don't want to be like, mom, you don't know my shit.
Right.
You know, you don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, right. It's And I think for me too, I struggled through my whole life just comparing myself and like, oh, what are they going to think? And what are my parents, you know, whatever, this stupid stuff. But I think at the end of the day, it's like I realize that, well, I'm not living for anyone else.
For sure.
I'm living for myself, whether other people like it or not. It's my life. Mm-hmm. Like, and I have to make sure that what I do is what I like, not what someone else thinks is good or bad or whatever. Like, Hannah, are you happy with your life? Yes. Great.
Yeah.
Then that's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah.
And I love basically what you're saying to tie it all in of like, oh, hey, you're going to this, you know, smaller Cal State or whatever. It's not UCI, right? And it's weird, though, because let's say you, I don't know, let's put your mom and dad's greatest little immigrant dream together. You're fucking president, let's say, or something like that, right? You come and you're Harvard Law and this and just, oh, my God, you taught at Yale for 30 years you did this and just everything on paper that looks perfect, right? Most of those people aren't as happy as you would think, right?
Sure.
Because here's the thing is they were pursuing outside accolades and outside affirmation,
like someone else's dream
versus internal happiness, right? And then that's the thing that I've gone so much of, just leaps and bounds with the fucking Kino analogy as I go, like, because I used to look at people with a pug or a cattle dog, right?
Yeah.
And you know, when we're at a high level like this, like I can unleash a motherfucker out here, right? Yeah, and cattle dogs are cool. I love that. That's just not the breed for me, for right? Sure. But I'm really good with all dogs. I just go like, this cattle dog, what is he? He's about 40 pounds. God damn. You know what I mean? I start calculating the missing stuff but Keno, oh my God, he'd tear the hamstring off the bone when needed. Right. But so it's an alignment issue to where I go, but if I had the cattle dog, boy, it'd be nice to get a hug every once in a while. Yeah. You get 30 seconds of affection from him all
day.
You'll work him all day. You'll take him on a hike to Hollywood. You'll do this. You'll feed him top of the line food that we do. We train, we do everything perfect with him and he'll hug you. 5 seconds, and then he growls,
and then he
get the fucks off, and he's like, "Hey, hey, I'll keep an eye on you." That's not what we do around here, right? Like, it's just so weird, such a strange dynamic. But like with a cattle dog, with a poodle or a golden or whatever it is that you do, a French bulldog, everybody loves those fucking dogs, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. French bulldog, zero work. So what do you get? All the play, all the cuddle. But so it's basically like, where on the scale do you want to fall? How do you want to balance?
What makes you happy? Yeah.
What makes you happy? And the point of what makes most people happy, I would hope, is to try to perfect your craft, right? Mm-hmm. Try to work for whatever it is that you're doing. So the fact that it's like with my relatives, let's say, or anybody that I'm dealing with, it's not a, I don't care. I don't want you to be a 6, 7, 8, 9 figure lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. I want you to do, because I know it comes with that. I know it comes with, you're going to sit on the beach and you're going to be thinking about like what we do. You're gonna be, oh, how can I do this? How can I improve on that? That's the sort of deal with the devil that we've made. Those are our demons that we're working to scale to that big, right? But I also respect a lady that goes like, I just want to teach. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to fuck third grade. I love third graders. I hate third graders, but like, I love third grade. That's a sweet spot. Fucking little George Washington here, a little bit of this, and you call it a day, right? So the message that I try to end, because I always go hard on the money, and then I never tie in like, well, why the money, right? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? Personally, I want to be able to help people at scale, right? Mm-hmm. I know there's kids in the foster system right now that I don't want to have to go through what's happening right now, right? There's a single mom trying to just get by, right? There's people that are trying to eat, right? You can go over there and just think about all the people that you can feed and help alongside with your skills. And it's like, find what makes you happy and try to perfect that to the best of your abilities, right?
Yeah, totally.
I agree with you on that, man.
Appreciate it. But dude, podcasting's getting fun, huh? How's your first experience been on here, man?
It's gotten a lot easier. Like, in the very beginning, I was just like, oh, man, what are we going to talk about?
It's a weird skill because your brain is doing two things. Yeah. It's trying to stay here present on the mic, and then it's also like, what's the next thing queued up? That's why I need the note cards I'll write down, oh, question about his mom right here, and then it'll come up in 3 questions, mm-hmm. but I still have it when needed. Versus if I didn't have it, I'd be like, so
you would just be thinking about it.
Fuck was I doing? And when we do our home episodes, it'll be just like, I forgot what I said. All right. Yeah. Well, and we'll try to work it back and piece it. And I'll be like, oh, I remembered it. But yeah, man, I just kind of want to finish off here in a couple minutes about like your relationship. How did you meet your lady?
So it was, what was it? It was like some banquet that we were at. And just so happened, we sat at the same table and we had to both speak on this, like, or say something like some speech for the person that we were there for. And then we're sitting at the same table and I was just shaking the entire time. Like, my leg is just like, it wouldn't stop moving, dude. And I didn't know how to speak to her. And then I would just say, you know, like, where are you from? And she was like, oh, you know, from Walnut. And I was like, oh, where do you go to school? And then she goes, UCR. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. I actually live in Riverside. I'm like up the street from you. And she was like, oh, that's cool. And then little did I know, like the whole entire time, she was like, well, are you gonna ask if like we're gonna hang out? You ask my number. And then like I'm asking all of the like these stupid questions to where it's like I'm not even like going any further with it, you know? Because I even then went to go say, hey, do you have Instagram? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
I do too.
No, let me get your ad or anything like that. So what's funny is that's how we met. And a few days later, I want to say she like followed me on Instagram. Mm. And I was like, hell yeah, score. Like, your boy's a player.
There you go. Killing the game.
No, but she ended up following me. And then like, I invited her over to, because at the time I was still working at my parents' restaurant. And I had invited her over, you know, because she's Filipino too. I was like, oh, I don't know if you've ever been, but you should come with your friends. Just, you know, I'll take care of you guys for like a free meal or whatever. So she comes, and then she comes with like, I want to say like 4 of her friends. One dude who's like 6'7".
Oh, boy.
And he kind of like has her, his arm over her.
Oh, no.
In my mind, I'm like, damn, you going to do me dirty like that? Like, you going to rub your boyfriend? Like, you going to put your boyfriend like in my face and everything? So, like, it was funny because they came. And, of course, like, I'm still going to be friendly. I'm like, hey, appreciate you guys coming. But down deep inside, I'm just like, oh, I guess she's taken, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so, I honestly didn't, like, say anything to her after. And then she actually responded, or she DM'd me, like, a couple of days later, a day later. And then we started talking again. And then it just started to sound like, you know, like, that wasn't her boyfriend. Like, that was just her friend. So then I asked her out on a date and all that kind of stuff. We went to go get coffee. And then that's when I told her. I was just like, yo, dude, like, I thought that was your boyfriend. Yeah. She was like, no. Like, he's just, like, one of my really good friends. And I was like, well, he got all the qualities I wish I had. You know, 6'7" in height.
You know what's funny is my favorite thing about being in Filipino culture, aside from the food, the endless food, right, yeah. Of just, like last Thanksgiving, right, it was I had 3 plates. I was putting it down.
Yeah.
I can't do 4 or 5. I just can't. I'm not Joey Chestnut around here, but I put it down, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because the height, though, I went from being 6'2 to, which I am, 6'4, 6'5. Yeah. Walked out like, oh, what are you, about 6'6? And I was like, okay, if you think so. Like, I got it. Yeah. But it's just funny, though, like, from that perspective of, like, the little old ladies are, what, 4'9, 4'10? Like,
Filipinos are tiny.
Like, bro, he was like 6'6. And I'm like, here I am. In this household, I am, all right? So don't tell anybody else that outside of here. But here, 6'6".
Yeah. Man, I go to the Philippines. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm 5'11".
Yeah. You're like, that good nutrition. You're like, I'm a tall guy, right? I'm a center in this league.
I'm standing next to you. I mean, you're like, oh, bro, what are you, 4'2"?
That's good. So how long have you guys been dating for then?
9 years now, dude.
Wow, amazing.
So we've been together for 9 years.
Amazing.
But yeah, going into just the whole entire like relationship. So to bring it back to like when like the restaurant started and everything, I know you had mentioned something about bringing up the relationship earlier, so I'll just kind of get into it. But everything was good, right, when we first started dating. And then the moment my life transitioned into being a business owner, that's where we really had to learn more about each other and how to actually, I guess, figure out how I'm going to be or how I'm going to live this life,
right,
and you still be a part of my life, to where we really had to find compromise and just like figure out how we're going to go about, you know, being together.
Right.
Because obviously in the very beginning, it was hard for us to manage a restaurant and to manage a relationship. Because obviously when you're in a relationship, you know, you want to be there for the person. And obviously it was like a freaking 180 degree transition, to where it went from I'm giving you all my time to now I don't have time for you at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But then that's when I had to understand, like moving forward, like fast forward a few years, that's when I started to understand a little bit more on how to like balance things a little bit better, how to trust people a little bit more, how to delegate a little bit more so I can actually like spend time with you and be there and be present with you.
Yeah.
That's good.
How did you learn that as far as understanding that the power of a team, right? Putting the right players in the right position to succeed, you know, as a leader, it's key to everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, you thought you were Superman or what in the beginning? You thought you could do it all?
But also at the same time, it's like your business. You're like, yes, I was like, I'm the fucking man. You know, like, I got this part, I can do this, I can do that, I'm going to make sure, because I guess with, like, every restaurant that I've, like, ever opened, like, of course I'm going to take a lot of pride in what I'm doing. My name's attached to it, I want to make sure that it actually works, you know?
Yeah.
So, there were certain things where I was like, no, like, I got this, I'm going to do this my way. And obviously, in the very beginning, I didn't know systems. I didn't know how to create a system I didn't know how to create a system around all functions within the business. But as we started growing, and then as I started seeing like the struggles within like the relationship, to where I was like, dude, I'm falling into what I never wanted to fall into in the first place, right? Where I had told you, like growing up, I was like, cool, I don't see my fam.
Yeah.
Right.
Or my parents. I started to feel like I was doing that to her, and then just even like the people that cared about me, like my friends, everything. Obviously, you know, we all have that understanding, like, so like me and my friends, we all have that understanding that, you know, like I'm normally busy. If they're gonna like, if they want to hang out, like sometimes we gotta schedule something like 2-3 weeks out in advance, right? Yeah. Month in advance. But as far as like me and my girlfriend, I always try and make it a point that I can still spend like my nights with her. Or right. It's like if she texts me, like I will at least try and get back to you as soon as possible, right? Because before it would be a good morning text and then a good night text or a quick call. And right. then that was it because I'd be at the restaurant the entire day.
Yeah. Mm.
And then there was a lot of struggles, fights here and there. But again, when it comes down to, you know, like me trusting and understanding that we need a team in order to like make this all work. So take, for instance, with the restaurants, like we're big right now on dialing on our operations because we're even understanding that I'm not. So for one of the restaurant shoots, I'm not necessarily in operations, but we all get together, us as partners, and we all try and figure out, okay, what do we have to do in order for this to grow? And we all have that understanding that if we still have to be in the operation come, you know, our fourth and fifth location, like how is this going to grow to anything bigger?
Right.
Right. Because obviously there's four of us, we get the five locations. We can't all be at each location. So what happens when we hit 10? So we are learning, you know, how to systematize everything. You know, there's certain softwares that we can put in place, accountability.
Mm.
But even like I said, when it comes down to like hiring the right people as well, like we want to make sure that we're bringing on the right people that we know that will love and care for the brand the same way that we do. Obviously, you can't expect that from everyone, but there's certain things that you can put in place and there's certain systems that you can put in place and you can make things easier within like your operation to where people don't have to stress over a certain function the same way we would have to or the same way we did when we first started.
Yeah.
Right.
So as we're growing, and this goes for like all the restaurants now to where it's like we're consistently trying to figure out how do we simplify operations? Mm. So take, for instance, shoots. You guys said you guys went yesterday. Mm. That menu that you guys saw is probably half the menu of what it used to be when we first started. Mm. So we used to have short ribs. We used to have locomocos. We used to have a different kind of masubi, all that kind of stuff. But it got to a point to where what we understood was with all those different SKUs or different menu items, it only made the operation harder because now you have to worry about training on how to prep this item, how to cook that item.
You look at In-N-Out, you know what you're getting. Exactly. It's just how big do you want it to be?
Exactly. So we really do look a lot. I mean, we do look into In-N-Out a lot and how they operate and what their menu is.
Can't be better. Yeah.
It's super basic, but the thing is at the end of the day, you're getting the best quality.
Yeah.
You're getting good service and it's quick.
Right.
Right. And that works because you're not having to worry about this part of the menu, this part of the menu, this part of the menu. You're getting a burger.
Yeah.
So you're not saying it, but I'm saying it. If you love In-N-Out as much as we do, you're going to fucking love Shoots. Yeah. So I know you won't say it, but I'll say it. Go check them out, all right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's essentially like what I'm trying to do with Shoots. And also my other restaurant, Mad Bun. So Mad Bun is like an Asian version of like a Chick-fil-A, I guess you could say. So same thing with that. It's like we used to do like pork belly. We used to do, you know, other like items. Like we actually used to do burgers there too. But we actually opened a new location this year in which we removed all that and just focused strictly on like fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked like a charm because, dude, that's all you're focused on now. Yeah. You know, it's like different flavors fried chicken, but you're able to make that chicken sandwich the best chicken sandwich that we can because we're not like having to worry about other stuff on the menu.
So. I like that. So, hey, we've held you hostage here and been able to have you on for a good amount of time. As we land this ship or land the plane, I got two final questions that we love to ask all of our guests that come on. The first one you don't have to have an answer to. We just like to open it up, so it's okay. Is there anything that either myself or Hannah didn't get around to asking you over the course of this episode that maybe you wanted to touch upon?
I would say, like, I think you guys asked the right questions and we kind of got through a lot. I think the only reason why I'm like kind of thinking about it is just because there's so much that's happened throughout these past like 7 years of just owning restaurants and like opening up different spaces. Because I've actually closed two restaurants in the past too. Mm. So honestly, like this story can kind of just go in so many different directions. But I feel like you guys were able to get like the gist of like, you know, where. Man.
We'll have you on again and we'll go super deep into all of it. Yeah.
Definitely. I hope you had a great time. No, it was fun. Enjoyed having you on. And you know, the last thing that we love is as you've been a part of Natural Thoughts and Talks and you see what we're trying to do authentically from the ground up and the value that you were able to provide is so, you know, impactful. Are there maybe 2 to 3 people that you'd like to shout out that you, they could either be entrepreneurs like yourself. They don't have to be just somebody with a really good spirit, maybe here in the local Southern California area that we could reach out to, maybe get them in the same seat that you are to help share their story.
Yeah, so I would love it if like you guys brought on my business partner on Shoots, Harold.
Yeah.
We actually appointed him as CEO, but you know, with him, I actually learned a lot through him also. Because when we all kind of came together to open up Shoots, he kind of came in more with the business mindset. Mine was more so from like the restaurant, creativity, menu design aspect. So, you know, along with our other two partners, so you kind of put all our brains together, all our minds together, we were able to really create something beautiful with Shoots. But no, I think he would be perfect for something like this. Aside from that, who else? I feel like there's somebody. I would say have you guys ever been to Rodeo 39?
No.
Okay. So she's actually my other business partner on my brunch restaurant, Breezy. But she's also one of the managing partners and brokers for the whole Rodeo development. Mm. So Rodeo 39 is the food hall that we're in which Rodeo is now expanding, or they've expanded to Ontario, and they've expanded to, or this year they will be expanding to San Juan Capistrano and Whittier.
Cool.
In which we're putting Shoots in both of those locations. But even her, just you know, a woman coming up and, you know, doing her thing, you know, standing strong for, like, you know, women in power and all that. And she's doing her thing. But she's also, like, my partner on that brunch restaurant. She's the one who kind of calls all the shots with Breezy as well. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Love that.
To check that out, too,
for
sometime soon
Love
when
that.
We're going out for brunch.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, man, we appreciate you coming on.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll definitely catch you on the next one, and hopefully you'll be back on sooner rather than later. All right. We'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Bye.